Psalm 68, verse 15, the Word of God says, "The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, and high hill as the hill of Bashan. Why leap ye, ye high hills? This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death." We know the Lord will bless this short reading from His divinely inspired word to our hearts for His great name's sake. Man, by and large, lives today as if the harvest and the provision of food in that harvest is a natural thing. If he thinks about it at all, he will or she will readily conclude that it depends on the vagaries of the weather, or in some cases, good luck, or in other cases, fancy farming methods, the advancement of science in the field of agriculture. But the child of God, however, knows a whole lot different to that. They know much, much better. They know of a certainty that as the weather is in the hand of the Lord, that the provision of the harvest and its untold blessings is the result of the kindness and the mercy and the goodness of God Himself. And it is because He has chosen to bless this earth and make it fruitful that we have these tokens before us, all around us in the church this evening. But having said that, however, we ought never to think that such blessing only comes at the harvest season. We ought never to think that these temporal blessings only come at designated times. Yes, even though the Lord promised a way back at the conclusion of that great flood in Genesis 8 and verse 22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. I preached that text in my own church when these environmental idiots that I would refer to them by, they come out with all their nonsense about how we're destroying the world. My friend, this world will never be destroyed until the Lord destroys it. The Lord is in control, you see, and He has promised that in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. And even though that sure and that certain promise has been given, and the Lord never breaks His unalterable word, we ought to realize that the provision of the Lord extends year, the whole year round, day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out. And I think a wonderful example of this is found in the giving of the manna in the Old Testament. Do you remember how the people were wandering through the wilderness? How that it turned out that it was longer than expected due to the unbelief of the people, and it ended up at some 40 years. Every single day, however, the Lord provided food for His people. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 35 says, "And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited." They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. And men and women, in spite of the provocation of the Lord and their unbelief and their rebellion and so forth, God was still gracious to His people. And He fed them every single day of those wanderings until they set foot in the land of promise. So we can learn from that one simple example that God keeps His word. He is gracious to mankind, and He supplies our needs on a daily basis. With that in mind, look there at verse 19 of our reading this evening. "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. I want to consider with you for a few short moments, and it will be a few short moments, I trust, because I've seen the supper that's provided, and I would recommend for you to stay with us. Or maybe you could go on home, and it'll be more for me to eat and Gillian to eat before we head all the way back to Malaya. But do remember that. The certainty of daily blessings from God. First of all, notice here the source of the blessing. Because the source of this blessing is very obvious. It's the Lord. Referred to once by that name and also by the phrase, which we're going to come to in a few moments again, the God of our salvation. In other words, the source of the daily benefits or the blessings is God Himself. And therefore, it's not a question of whether the labor of our own hands or the sweat of our brows provide the food on our table and the shelter over our heads, because ultimately, whatever we can do for ourselves is because we're enabled to do that by the Lord. And in that way, men and women, we can see how thankful we are to be to the Lord for even enabling us to earn a wage to provide these things. Of course, this is not a popular thing to think of, especially where those who do not believe in God, who reject the Lord, are concerned. Man loves to think of himself as being the ultimate authority, and that nothing or no one is higher than he is. It's a humbling thing, you see, is it not? To admit, first of all, there is a power that is higher than ourselves, and then to have to go on and give that being worship and adoration that he deserves because of that fact. To realize that our existence, our very existence on this earth, is dependent upon the Lord rather than our own effort. The fact is, you see, it is the Lord Himself who daily loadeth us with benefits. You know, oftentimes, as you talk to believers here and there, some will get the idea in their heads that the God of the Old Testament, oh, He's such a harsh God. When you read the Old Testament and you read what He does and you read the judgments that He passes upon certain individuals, oh, He's a very harsh God. He's a very stern God. He's one that's more to be feared than to be loved. But I put it to you that this is a very wrong idea indeed. You see, the picture we have here in our text is very different indeed. It's a picture before us of a very tender and a very merciful God. In the words of our text here, we see the God, the very God of heaven, stooping down in love and in mercy to help the weak, to relieve the weary, to bring deliverance to the oppressed. And my friend, that's how He has always dealt with His people. Characters such as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and countless others, in their time of need in their lives, they have proven it time and time again. And such a thought upon the Lord and that provision that He supplies ought to lead us to praise Him, because that's why, if you'll notice, the first line of that text says, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits." Now, I do not believe either that it's not without significance that the psalmist here employs the title for God, which most strongly expresses that idea of supremacy and dominion. If you think about it, the title of Lord, surely that has to mean the highest. Surely that has to mean the ruler, the very highest ruler of all, the one whose absolute and unchallengeable authority covers all of mankind in this earth. He is the one, you see, that is displayed here in these words, who stoops down to supply the needs of mankind. You see, in this thought of how the Lord condescends, as the theologians talk about, how the Lord bends down to help and sustain mankind is clearly seen in the psalm itself. Because in this psalm, on one hand, we have a marvelous and magnificent display of the authority and powerful power of God. whilst on the other, a wonderful insight into his willingness to be concerned with the needs of the individual. Look at verse 4, for example. We read of God riding through the heavens by his name. Look at verse 7. We see him marching forth at the head of his people. Verse 8 speaks of the earth shaking and the heavens dropping at his presence. Even Sinai itself being moved at such a presence. Then we read in verse 11 and onward of his word going forth so mightily as to scatter armies and their kings. We read, if you notice verse 17, of the chariots of God as being 20,000, even thousands of angels. And the summary of that glorious sight of the Lord is there in verse 18. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. And brother or sister, it is then that the psalmist turns from that contemplation and that thinking of all that magnificent and all that glorious earth-shaking power to that wonderful thought of our text. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Is there not anything so wonderful as this? On one hand, a glorious display of who God really is. And then in the next, we see him here as this thought in the text itself. When we think that Isaiah 40, as it says, and it tells us it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, when we understand that he is the very same God who daily loadeth us with benefits. Friends, we cannot help but be in wonder. We cannot help but be in praise. We cannot help but be in amazement at the whole thing. So then we have, in the first place here, the source. But now we come in the second place to the supply of the blessing. Look at what the text says about the supply. It says, who daily loadeth us with benefits. You know, as I looked at those words, I thought of how there are three very simple ways that we can see this supply described for us. First of all, notice how there is the fact of it. The word benefits there, if you look at it, is in italics. And that means it's not in the Hebrew text of the scriptures, but it has been supplied by our translators to give the proper sense of what is being said. And they have done this because the sense of the line is that God does not load his people down with burdens beyond their ability to bear them. You see, burdens added daily could be seen in that regard. But the fact is here, they're termed benefits because they are blessings. Blessings upon blessings upon blessings that the Lord loads us down day by day with regularity. The things that we receive from the Lord are far from being a burden. They're a joy. They're a delight to receive. And is not this a great fact? There's not one of us here this evening that has not already enjoyed such blessing as I'm talking about here today. Think of your health. Think of your health. The ability that you have to get along to the house of God as often as you want to. My mother has, and because when you look at me, I'm not that old, she's not that old either. She had to go into hospital there last week and she got a knee replacement. So now every time she goes through the airport machines, she's going to set off an alarm. But she got a knee replacement this week. And last night there was a mission. There's a mission on in our church in Cumber. And that's the first time in a week and a half she's been able to get out to the house of the Lord. And she had been unwell before this. This pain was continual in her knee. And now she's like a new woman. She's rejoicing for the fact that she can get out to the house of the Lord. And yet here we are tonight in the same house of the Lord. And we should be rejoicing for that. We never miss our health until we don't have it. Think of our health. Think of the ability that you have to come along to the house of God when you want to. Think of the transport you've got the means to get here. The fact that you have some decent clothes to put on, and by the looks of us, we haven't needed to fast today or yesterday through lack of supplies in the cupboard. There's not one of us who have had the experience of old Mother Hubbard who had nothing there in the cupboard. Oh, I could go on and go on and go on about the temporal blessings that every single one of us have enjoyed. The fact of the matter is undisputable, you see. We've received much from the hand of the Lord, even this day already. There's not only the fact of it here in these words, there's also the frequency of it. Because the text doesn't employ the word daily for nothing. And if you had a wee look at the Hebrew text there, you see, I took in a wee bit more than just the Greek, I took the Hebrew in as well. You'd discover that that word is actually the common word for day in the New Old Testament. And not only that, but it's also, you won't see this in the English, but it's also repeated. In other words, it occurs twice beside each other in the text. And if you were to read these words most literally as they appear, it would say, "Blessed be the Lord who day by day loadeth us with benefits." And that's important because when you get a repetition like that, it's there for emphasis. And I would suggest to you that is the case here. The psalmist wants to emphasize, you see, this tremendous fact that it is daily that we receive these things. It is day by day by day. In fact, every single day of our lives. I've mentioned the giving of the manna already. The manna was sent every morning, and we see it as a wonderful type of the provision of the Lord day by day for each of us to enjoy. I want you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16, please. Look with me at the verse 21. Exodus chapter 16 and the verse 21. It says, "And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating." So you'll understand then that they gathered the manna fresh every morning, because the verse continues, "And when the sun waxed hot, it melted." And so in the morning, in the cool of the day, there was plenty to supply the needs of the people. But when that sun rose to its height in the heat of the day, the manna withered away to nothing. Meaning, the Lord would have to send another fresh supply the very next day. In fact, the only morning that it wasn't sent was on the Sabbath day. But there was an exception on that day, because on the Sabbath, the day before the Sabbath, they had to gather twice as much to cover the next day. And it's plain from the passage in verses 20 and 27 that those who took more than they needed, or those who did not gather for the Sabbath the day before, they would suffer loss. But in all of this, it is clear that the Lord sent a fresh supply new every morning. And in that one great long-lasting miracle of about 40 years, we have a picture of what He does for us today. He is the one who daily loadeth us with benefits every single day. Not only a word about the fact of it or the frequency of it, but you'll notice the fullness of it. Because the psalmist uses that word loadeth to describe how the Lord sends His blessing upon the earth. The Hebrew word there for loadeth is a word that in every case has to be, it means to be laden down. The picture I could employ from the time when the psalm itself was written, if you could imagine it in your mind, of an old donkey being loaded up for the day's work, or with all the provisions that a market trader would need and would take to market. Something along those lines. I'm sure you've seen that. How the eastern lands, the poor old donkeys, are almost buckled under the amount of stuff that they have to carry for their masters. You can get a bigger load on a donkey than you could in most cars. We live in a wonderful place. You know, it's just a wee quick sideline that came into my mind. I have a picture on my phone of a boy in Ballywalter, which is just 5 miles down the road, and he has a donkey in his car. But in these days, the sort of thing that I'm talking about, and it's true, I can get it for you. I don't have any way of showing it out here tonight. But this boy driving around with a donkey in the back of his car, there's strange people down in that Arch Peninsula. But if you think about it, all that stuff piled up on top of that donkey, that's the picture that we have here. That's the sort of picture which fits in with how this word is used in our text. And brethren and sisters, when we think of the blessings of the Lord that each one of us enjoy day by day, isn't that a wonderfully accurate picture? I tell you, it most certainly is. Whether we realize it or whether we don't, the fact remains that every single day of our lives, we are loaded down with blessings. We are loaded down with benefits for the day itself. It's a fresh supply for every day. Lamentations 3, verse 22 and 23, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. His compassions toward us, the tokens of His mercies to us, they fail not. They are new every morning. My friend in the meeting, have you realized this? Have you felt the weight of all those things that we all, if we're frank, we forget about them? But can you say that you know that what the Lord does for you in loading you down with temporal blessing day after day, and boy, that isn't even beginning to consider the spiritual blessings that His people enjoy day after day on top of the temporal ones. We cannot even hope to count up those blessings that every one of God's people experiences day after day, never mind beginning to add all the spiritual blessings that we enjoy as well. Isn't that why we read in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 26, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That clearly means that the earth and everything in it is the Lord's, which is why that certifying statement is added, than the fullness thereof. It's repeated again in the next verse. So temporal blessing comes from the Lord. We've seen that already in the source of the blessing. But now in its supply, the fact, the frequency, the fullness of the blessings that He bestows are clearly identified as coming from Him. And all of this is certified by the last part of our text, because we see in the last place the surety of the blessing. The surety or the certainty of the blessing is also seen. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Even the God of our salvation. Some might say, well, why is that line in there? That text makes perfect sense without it. It seems almost unnecessary to have those words in it. But the point is this. How often is it when trials and difficulties and hardships and temptations come, how often is it the first person that we doubt is the Lord God of our salvation? How often when those, in this day and age, particularly these financial hardships that not one of us is exempt from, how often when those sort of things come, how often do we wonder, has God forsaken us? Has God left us to ourselves? That's why I believe the Spirit of God has included this certifying phrase in this text. It's as if He's saying here, the God of our salvation will continue to load us down day by day. As He has saved you, child of God, He will preserve you. He will keep you even in temporal matters. As you've partaken of what's known as a special saving grace, you're also going to be a partaker of His common grace. You see, the words of Hebrews 13 and verse 5 have to be considered in this light also. Because the verse says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now that word conversation, it's an old English word. It means manner of life. Today it means just speech. It means you talking to somebody else, them talking back to you. In the authorized version, it means a manner of life. It comes from a word that means to turn. And the thought is how we turn through life. That's the literal thinking here. The turns we take, that is the manner of life. How we steer through life. And brethren and sisters, it has to be without covetousness. Although that word in the Greek is primarily to do with money, yet we could widen it to include all of our earthly possessions. You see, for the child of God, our manner of life is not to be marked by a greed after those earthly things. We are not to be seen as those who turn to the left and turn to the right after the things of the world. Rather, we are to be content with the things that we have and the things that are supplied by the Lord. And the reason is the promise of God. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Now those words might seem similar in meaning in the English, but the word for leave has the sense of being loosed. It has the sense of the Lord slackening off his hold upon us and allowing us to go a little distance on our own. It's a bit like one of those, I'm sure you've seen, I don't know whether you might have them down here, but certainly in more city areas when people have to take their dogs out for a walk on a leash, on a lead, you can get these wee plastic ones that spool out more lead to the dog and he can walk further ahead of you and so forth. That's the sort of thing I'm thinking about. But my friend, the Lord will never do that. To the extent that his hold, his care for us is far away, because he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He will provide our needs day by day. That is a certainty, because the God of our salvation is the surety behind it. You see, friends, if he has saved us and washed us in the blood of the Lamb, he will not leave us to ourselves. It's beyond question. And my friend, if he has elected you to the salvation before the foundation of the world, if he in the process of time has sent forth his only begotten Son to actually secure your salvation on the cross, not merely to provide you with a chance to be saved, but actually to infallibly secure your salvation on the cross, and if he has later organized every single thing in your life down to the last minute detail that you would be under the sound of the gospel and as a result be convinced of your sin and drawn to Christ, and if he has justified you and declared you free of guilt in his sight because of what of Christ has done on the cross for you personally, if he has given you the spirit of adoption whereby you can cry, Abba Father, if he has brought you into the family of God as a child of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, if he has begun that good work in you called sanctification and has promised to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, and if he has ordained to come back for you one day and receive you unto himself, if he is preparing a place for you, that mansion in glory, do you not think that with all of that, he will not supply your need? Of course he will. The words of Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My friend, if you don't see that, if you have a root of unbelief about it in your soul, I trust the Lord will have mercy upon you and open your eyes. You see, unbelief, especially where the clear word and promises of God are concerned, is one of the greatest blights upon the Church of Christ today. That's why Hebrews 3 and verse 12 exhorts us, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God." We ought to cry if we're afflicted with this. Mark 9. Praying with that distress, "Father, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." Oh, listen, we need to get over this terribly debilitating problem of unbelief and go on to have greater and faith in the Lord God of heaven who has saved us. And let me remind you, if he has gone to the extent that he has in that, and he's done all that is needed for your pardon and acceptance with himself, you can be very dead on sure he's not going to desert you. He's not going to leave you. He will supply all your need. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never been saved. Maybe you've never come and tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Friend, I would encourage you to do just that. You know, there's nothing like it. Being saved. I want to tell you something. Christians are not perfect. There used to be a bumper sticker. We used to see it in North America. You know the way all these Americans love these bumper stickers on the back of their car. And there was I don't particularly like them, especially when it comes to Christian matters. But this one was very good. It said, "Christians aren't perfect. They're just forgiven." My friend, that's true. There's no difference between us. We don't think we're better than anybody else. The only difference between the Christian and the non-Christian, the saved person and the unsaved person, is we're forgiven. Will you not come and be saved? As you think about the harvest and how good the Lord has been in providing us our food and everything that we enjoy day after day, will you not come and put your faith and trust in the God of the harvest? Oh, it would be a great time for you to get right with God. The greatest, if I could put it this way of thanking the Lord for his provision, especially of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, will you not look unto him and be saved? For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Tell me, are you saved tonight? Thank God I can tell you can be. You can come where you are. You can ask the Lord to be saved. But if you want to speak to either myself or your minister, why not have a word with us as others are leaving? But I trust you'll get right with God and be saved at this harvest. You don't want that text to be said of you in Jeremiah 8, verse 20. "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." Will you not leave this meeting converted, like those brethren and sisters in the Lord who are here? I trust you will, for Jesus' sake. Amen.